You know, there's so many things God gives us that's so precious. When we get saved, I could go on and on about His blessings, but the one that I'm thinking of this morning is unity. You know, this world we live in today, and with the help of the Lord today, we want to bring it out, but that unity is precious, and we're going to have to value it, because the world we live in today, it's very easy to get that disturbed. This word unity means the state of being one. You know, the verse, and we'll get to it a little later, but Brother Danny read the verse about how precious it is the brethren dwell together in unity. How precious it is. You know, the Lord said that. I can stand up this morning and tell you that. Anything you work in, anything in life, you get a group of people together, and if there's not unity, then it really doesn't matter how good an idea you have. All the way from any area of life you want to talk about, even just getting out and if you, I used to enjoy coming up here. I'd meet with the bunch of boys after service and we'd go play ball. I'm not doing that anymore, but I would probably not be able to, but I used to enjoy that and it was fun. But it took unity. You put five of us on a team, we all decide to do our own thing, it's not going to work very well. You think about work, you get a job, you get a place, a group of employees, and you have a great idea. Maybe you have a lot of talent, understanding of what you're doing, but nobody's working together. Everybody's pulling against each other. It's not going to work. You're going to be passed up by people who really don't have as good of ideas simply because they're unified. Unity, the state of being one. And how precious that is. That's what the Lord said. I can tell you it's precious. I love it. I'm so thankful for it. It's wonderful to be unified with the people of the Lord, to be drawn together as one. But you know, the Lord said it was precious, and that takes it to a whole nother level. I realize that all of my understanding of how precious it might be, it goes beyond that because the Lord said it, and the Lord said it was precious. And so with the help of the Lord today, we want to talk about this just a little bit. You pray for me. We talked about the different areas of life. People decide they want to do something, they get together, they unify around something. And that may be many, many different things. And it's important to know, though, when the people get together to do whatever job it's going to be that they're going to accomplish, if one person thinks they're going to build a bridge across the Mississippi River, and one person thinks they're going to build a bridge across the Tennessee River, and they get these think groups together and they start thinking, and they're working on two different projects. They don't realize what they're really supposed to be unified around. When they get together to do this job, it's going to be hard to accomplish what they were meaning to do. Well, we were doing this. They didn't realize what they were unified around. For anything to work, it has to be around something about one. The word unity here, the definition in the Webster, also says it's a thing undivided in itself, but separate from everything else. So unity is being drawn together, but it's also having it's not just what we're around, it's the fact that we're a separate group. The thing that we're drawn around, that's what unifies us, that's what draws us together. With the help of the Lord, we'll bring that out a little more. But if you'll think about that, there's the drawing in, but there's the fact that as a group, if I draw a circle here with a point and an X in the middle of it, this is what we're drawn together to. As we're drawn to it, we're also drawn away from everything that is besides this. That's the point, what I'm trying to say right now. And so, as we're drawn together, how is it that we have unity this morning? Now, when I begin to go, and I feel like the Lord putting some things in my heart here, don't misunderstand me. My whole point of what I'm fixing to say is to draw us to the point to understand what really, why we have unity. That's so precious. Anybody in the world can have unity. But we want that sweet, precious unity. And we've got to know what it's around. In 1 John, in the first chapter, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. John's starting out to say, look, I want to tell you about something I've got. I want to tell you about something I'm enjoying, that I enjoy. And he says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. We found something awesome. We have found something incredible. And we want to share it with you. We want to tell you about it, okay? But I want you to understand where it comes from. I want you to understand why it's precious. Now, I could come to you and tell you, I found... But what is it? It's precious, but what is it? Is it really something different? It says, we declare unto you, we want to share it with you, what we have found, that you may have fellowship with us. You pray for me. Fellowship with us. And so, isn't that, that's the desire of our heart. We want to share that. But what does that fellowship come from? The fellowship, and truly our fellowship, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why it's precious. That's why we have a fellowship this morning. It's not because we figured out a form or a code or something that we can all just unify around. We could do that. And the minute we do that, it starts becoming... It's not... It's unity. It's still unity. It's still fellowship. But would the Lord stand back and say, that's precious? No. No. I believe with all my heart. No, He wouldn't. When we begin to make it our unity. But if we stand back and we say, we have something precious because we have the Lord. We have a fellowship with the Lord, and it's precious. And because we know Him, because He's in our hearts, it unifies us all. And this is what the unity, we're trying to tell people who are coming in, we're trying to explain how it is that we, what is it that's different? How is it we get along? How is it we can worship together from all parts of the United States and the world and have a unity of the Spirit within us? Is that something that can be formed around any code, any doctrine? No, we have precious doctrines, precious things that come out of that and are precious, but we cannot, it can't be formed around those things because it's only the Lord that takes it to that depth. That takes it to the depth of where it needs to be, where God can stand back and say, that's precious. And I want to hear Him say it. You know, we sang that song, The Family God, and I'm raising my, and the Lord's blessing my heart because it's something He's done in my life. He's changed me in here. I couldn't make myself be adopted into this family. I have no power. I'm simply at His mercy. And He chose to adopt me. He chose to give me His Son. And He chose to give His Son for me, that I could be saved and fill me with His Spirit so I could be a part of this family. So I could be part of something where the Lord's standing back and saying, that's precious. You know, He sees all the different unities that are out there in this world. You know, God sees them, and they are unities. He sees that in the secular world, in the religious world, He sees all of those unities, all the things that man has tried to form around. But He looks on the unity He gives us through Jesus Christ, His Son, being in our life. And He says, that's precious. Amen. You know, this word fellowship here means partnership, participation. And it's come to me before. Is there a eraser here? Well, we'll just try to draw it right here. It's come to me before about a wheel here. And you've got all of us sitting around out here. And we can try to just form like this. But we're not anchored to anything. And when the world comes in with its different callings and different things that it tries to get our attention with, see, that separate thing, it starts, we hear such and such in the world. And we start getting drawn to it. Well, it can draw us away if there's no anchor there. Y'all, I want to dwell on that for just a moment. The media, you pray for me. Please pray for me right here, because I love y'all. And I don't want to say anything outside the will of the Lord, okay? That's why I'm a little timid right now, because I feel very careful about this subject. There's many voices in the world today. They're all shouting something. They want us to pay attention to it. You know why? They want us to just hear a little bit. They want us to pay attention so that we're starting to draw away to this thing. This media outlet is saying such and such thing, and we start being drawn towards that. And now all of a sudden, instead of being separate, and that separate from the things that are outside, all of a sudden we're pulled. We're pulled to a political party. We're pulled to a news story. We're pulled to a cause. We're pulled to something. All of this is destroying the unity of God. If we're allowing it to become what we're paying attention to, if it starts coming in and we start listening to it, and all of a sudden there's a spoke. You know, these spokes are supposed to go this way. They're supposed to go in and they anchor us to the Lord. That's the only way we have fellowship. They go in here. Here's where our attention is to be. This is where we're to be drawn in. But all of a sudden, all these things, the world we live in today, there's information everywhere. There's no way to escape hearing about things, hearing about a cause, or hearing about some political party, or whatever it may be. You know what I'm talking about. You just insert whatever it is that you've been hearing and dealing with and having to put your hand up against. We're hearing about it's out there. The world is like that today, like it's never been before. And it's easy to start getting drawn towards those things. And we think, well, there's no, I'm just take. It seems like they're right. It seems like what they're saying is right. So I want to take this side. I'm listening, and there really was something here I needed to follow. I need to listen. I need to pay attention. They need help in their cause. And so our heart starts, instead of me just drawn into the Lord, and simply to Him. Now we kind of got divided loyalties a little bit. And we're trying to pretend. We're trying to pretend that somehow they line up together. Well, I believe this cause is right, so it just lines up with the Lord. It must be what's right. And I can't worship with anybody who doesn't follow this cause, because this is where the Lord is. No! He's sitting right where He's always been. He's not out there in those things. He never has been and He never will be. That's the world. That's the world. Unity is drawn to something, but it's also separate from something else. And that's something that we're to be separate from is the world. Not just in our morality, in our passions, in our devotions, in what we're giving our allegiance to. Our allegiance is to be to the Lord. He is the one that's to have it, and nothing is to stand between that. And nothing should be coming between us and the people of the Lord. So we forget that sometimes maybe, and we start getting drawn. We start getting a pull out here a little bit. And, oh, and we heard about this story, this cause, pull here. And all of a sudden you're starting to get a breakaway. And you know when you break away, well, who knows who's going to come with you. We think this is right. And instead of looking inward, now we're looking out here and trying to figure out how we can stay here but follow this thing. People, our unity is of the Lord. And we have got to make Him the focus of our life if we're going to keep this precious thing and be a part of the family of God. You know, it's precious to Him. And in one place, I don't have the scripture, but I do believe God says there are six things, yea, seven things that the Lord doth hate. And one of those things that is listed is he that sows discord among the brethren. You know, you're not justified in your cause. If your cause is sowing discord among the brethren, you're not justified in your cause. You're not. We need to lay those things down. Look, people, I have my own passions too. I have my own things I have to lay down. So you know what, Lord? It's not worth it. It's not. Look at this. And then look at what I'm holding here. No. It's not worth it. Lord, I feel so strongly about this thing. But Lord, help me just to lay it down. It's in your hands. It's not me that's going to make anything right or not right in. Anyways, you know what I mean, in the world. I'm not the one who's going to justify or condemn. It's going to be you, Lord. So let me just lay it down. And let me worry about being a sheep. A little child, not worried about all these things, not trying to figure out who's right and who's wrong out there. Lord, help us. We probably aren't even getting the right story half the time. We don't know what's going on. We think we do. We get the idea we do, and that's part of the problem. We don't realize that we need to just put those things in the Lord's hands and thank the Lord for what we have. Make the Lord the focus of our life. Don't let anything disturb that unity. We feel something come in and go, I don't know. Let the Lord have it. Amen. Just let Him have it. It's not worth it. It's all temporal anyways, even if it wasn't anything more than that. But truly, our fellowship is with the Lord. You know, that's an important concept. And I just, before we pass on here, I want to make sure you understand that Jesus is the center. And we're unified to Him through His Spirit in our life. And God's looking on that and saying, how precious. Amen. That's right. I mean, whatever He says goes, as far as I'm concerned. Nothing means as much as what He says about something. He has the ultimate authority. And that I want to be a part of whatever He's saying is precious. Ephesians, I believe it is. Here in the fourth chapter. Yes. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now, this unity is precious. It's a unity of spirit. And I believe, I can't remember for sure who mentioned this, about the instantaneous work that the Spirit does in our life. I believe it. I believe it. Then we got to take care of it. Through the help of the Lord. Sometimes, you know, it can be the idea when we hear that, all right, it's just a sled ride down the hill now. I throw my hands up and we'll be fine. No, we're going to read some things, but we've got a job. We've got a responsibility now with what the Lord has given to us. Is that not all through His Word? The talents, everything. The Lord gives us something and we're supposed to take care of it, right? And to bear that responsibility. So we have a responsibility. God has given us something precious. And He's looking on, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to take responsibility for your part in it? And it says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the invitation, the vocation, which means invitation, wherewith you are called. I want to stress, I just said it, that you walk worthy. You remember the king that invited people to his palace for the wedding? This wasn't something that you take the invitation card and go, oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute, send them $10. You know, sometimes we didn't, you know, you get a wedding invitation or something. I don't treat your invitations that way, I promise. I'm just drawing an illustration, okay? I appreciate every invitation that you've sent, and I'm very happy. I wish I could be at all weddings. But my point is, sometimes, you know, people might just take the invitation and say, yeah, I send them $10, all right, you know, throw it in the trash. Is there really anything else in life? I mean, this invitation Like I said, let's send Jesus. Let's let Him die on the cross. Let's let Him shed His blood and suffer persecution and shame and reproach. Let's let Him. This is how we're going to invite them into this family, into this precious, beautiful family. You know, not one with friction in it, not the one we see in the world today, but one that is just unified and loves each other and takes care of each other. When one has a heartache, we all share his tears. You don't feel that? And I feel when as you grow in the Lord, you feel His love in your life, and you hear about somebody suffering or something, and your heart just goes to them. You might not be able to go to them, but your heart just goes to them. And you say, "Oh Lord, help them. Help them." And the Lord said, let's let Jesus go down. Let's let Him suffer. Let's let Him die on a cross. This is how we're going to invite them into this family. We're seeing it that He was the invitation to us. The Son of God hanging on a cross. Crucified, mocked, reviled. He was our invitation into this family. Oh Lord, help me. Oh God, help me. Be careful. Be careful. It's why sometimes I'm trembling to think about it. It's just, Lord, help us to stand in awe and wonder at the invitation that we've seen and then realize, oh Lord, help me to walk worthy of that invitation, that I would trade it in for any of these things that are pulling at me, that I would allow any of those to make me the problem child. The child that's always stirring things up. It's always disturbing things. And just instead of just, you know what, when you have those things, it's just they're making you stir things up because you can't let go of them or anything. You know what you need to do with them? It's time to come down and pray. Pray. Let the Lord help you. Let him let it help you let go of it. Don't hold on to it. No. Let it go. Walk worthy of the calling. You see, that's why. You know, if it wasn't for this calling, if this was just something we had got together, well, I couldn't give you probably a good enough reason to let go of those things. But when I tell you that Jesus laid His arms out on the cross and let them be nailed, nobody had the power to hold Him there. He let them be nailed. And this was the invitation. This was the card that we all received that He sent to us. Lord, help us. I don't want to just send Him $10 back or throw it in the trash. Lord, I want to walk worthy of this vocation. And so here it says, with all lowliness and meekness. That kind of gets in the way of our own cause sometimes. It really will. And it'll if we can learn to walk in lowliness and meekness, it says lowliness means humiliation of mind. That is modesty. Meekness is gentleness. You know, it's popular in the Christian world today to get one of these causes and to fight for it. God said our weapons are not carnal. Amen. That's not the battle we're supposed to be fighting. We're in here praying. Somebody was mentioning about what are we doing in here? What are we doing in here? Don't stop worrying about what they're doing all out there and what's going to happen with the United States or with the world or with the other countries, whatever it may be. Stop worrying about the political structures and what needs to happen and start worrying about the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord, help us. If we take all that energy that we could put into those things and just turn them in here and just turn them in and thank the Lord it's happening. I know it's happening, but if we could do that, just keep letting go of those things and taking that energy and turning it in here to His kingdom, then we can really make a difference in the world. That's how we're going to make a difference more than we could ever do. It's turning that energy in here. And what can I do? How low can I get? Oh, brother, you know what? There's nothing I want between us. I love you. And that matters more than anything. You know, sometimes children might, brothers might have a little spat. But they pretty much always are right there with each other. They come together. They fix things. And that you see that love. Lord, help us. I hope we don't have spats. But if we do, let's get low. Let's get gentle. Let's get meek. Let's say, you know what? I might even still think I'm right if I just thought about it in my own mind. But you know what? I love you. And I just, more than anything, if we have to talk about something, we have to talk about something. But I want you to know that I love you. I love you. And that's what means more than anything to me. Whatever we do, I want to do it gently. I want to do it in lowliness and meekness with you. The Lord told us this is how we're going to take care of that precious thing that God's given to us, invited us to by nailing His Son on the cross. And it says, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. It kind of goes with this next verse, but I'll go ahead and tell you what this forbearing means. Maybe somebody's read, well, and this is the Greek translation of the word, the actual Greek word there, the definition for it, that's translated as forbearing. It's kind of funny.
Forbearing means putting up with one another.
Thank you, Rolessa. That's exactly it. To put up with. Wait, didn't you say, I can't believe what she did. There's a song. I don't get all the words right, but it says, I can't believe what she did. I can't believe what he said. Oh, don't they know they're wrong? Don't they know they're wrong? How can they treat me like this? But I guess it's not that much when I think of all you've done. You know, Lord help us. We get so, if we just remember what was done for us. And we're sitting here, we're struggling. Oh, I can't put, no, that you see the way they think about this thing, and that's just not right. And I just can't put up with that. I just can't put up with it. Well, exactly. You better figure out a way. That might be another thing that needs to have you down here. Me, needs to have me down here. Lord help me. I'm this is as much to me as anybody. Lord help me. If that's what's going on in my life, I can't put up. Lord help me. I can't put up with them. I need to come get some help. So I can, because you told me that I've got to. And it's not just you telling me. When I realize what happened, I realize the weight that's hanging over me if I don't do something about this. Didn't he say in one place, if you go before the Lord to offer a gift and realize your brother has something against you, go ahead and offer your gift and then go take care of it? Go to your brother. Leave the altar. I believe it actually says in that verse, leave the altar. Don't call him down here. Don't get him on the phone and make him come out and try to find you. You go find him. You go find... That's what... We're not... They don't have to take a step. When we realize something's wrong, the distance is up to us. It's up to us. Lord help us. If they're in the same... I pray and hope they'll be coming too. But the distance is up to us. Leave the altar. Go get things right. Then you come back and you offer your gift to me. Don't try to do that while you're struggling or you have something between you and a brother. This is precious to the Lord. He wants our attention on it. Amen. We can enjoy the service, leave here and go off to all our separate parts of the world and hear our own little radio shows and our own little news stories and everything and get our own little things going out there and pulling us away from each other. Lord, help us. Let's turn away from those things. Let's turn here to put up with. And this next verse, endeavoring, I actually didn't get the exact one here, but it means working hard, basically, is what that word means. It means this isn't going to be easy sometimes. It's not. Lord, help me. It is not easy sometimes. And you never know who it's going to pop up with. That's just life, people. It's just life. We're not going to sit here and pretend that no one of us and another one aren't going to have some issues sometimes. We're going to. That's just the world we live in. That's part of the temptations we go through and the trials we face is learning how to get along. What does it say? To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You mean there's something for me to do? I thought the Spirit does take care of us. But then in our responsibility, we have to take care of what God gave us. So keeping endeavoring, working hard, making our focus, what means more to us than anything. If I'm going to put effort out in this world to get along, I'm going to put effort out to get along here. To learn how to keep this unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. 1 Corinthians has some scriptures. 3rd chapter. And I want to tell you that those temptations will come and we will have to deal with things. But it is not God's will that they live and fester among us. We already brought out the scripture about the altar. We have some scriptures here. God wants them dealt with. He wants them taken care of. And He wants that unity, that bond of peace kept around that unity. And if it needs to be restored to that unity, let it be restored. That is what we need to make worth more. It says, "And brethren, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Strife is quarrels, wrangling. Divisions, disunion, dissension, envying, jealousy. These are not things. God's not saying, "Well, that's just part of, that's just life." No, that's not. That's life without the Lord, without His Spirit in our life. Those things are to be dealt with and taken care of so that the unity of the Spirit is not disturbed. There's not to be strifes, quarrels, and wranglings between us. Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Colossians 3, and once again, we'll start with the first verse. And we try to make it clear that we don't just go to our parts of the world and hold to our own little things. That there are things causing strife and divisions among us. We need to leave your gift on the altar and go take care of them. Make sure that you're where you need to be. Is it just personal? Is it just you? Well, then let's take care of it here. But is there something that somehow this is, has caused me to act in a way that has caused strife? Well, what I said was right. It was just right. It's what's good and proper. And maybe it was, but did it need to be said? Was there a purpose behind it? Were you just saying it just to prove you're right? You know, all that does is cause divisions and strife. That's not the point. You know, pray about something. We've had some things happen that are very divisive. And you know what? And not in here. I'm talking about out in the world. That if we pay attention to them and we get wrapped up in, we've had things recently that are very divisive. And when they happen and the fruition happens of them, there's one side and there's another. And each side feels justified in what they're saying. But is what you're saying, is there really a purpose in it? Is it promoting unity? Is this something you really need to be saying? If it is, if it's really from the Lord. But think, be careful. Be careful. And especially if your attention is on that thing and you're wrapped up in it, probably you need to spend some time praying before you start making comments about it. Be careful. Don't get wrapped up in those things. And then when they come to, and maybe in one case one side's proven right, maybe in another case another side is proven right, we want to drop a comment or two and prove how right we were. That's wrong. Don't do that. Don't do that. 6 things the Lord doth hate, 7 things are abomination to Him. He that so... You know what matters more is what you're going to say going to so cause a problem? Is there a purpose to it? Or is it just going to cause a problem? Is there just going to be strife? Don't say it. Keep it to yourself and just pray. Pray. It says, but now I want to tell you something too. I want to reemphasize one of the main points here. It says, Colossians, the 3rd chapter, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now, I try to give a little, I try to say, well, you know, if you hear it and you really think you're right, just be careful with what you say. Just don't get wrapped up in it. But look, people, it really comes down to this. Look, I'm sorry, that sounded. Look, my brothers, my sisters. I didn't mean it that way. I love you. I need this as much as anybody. Look, it wouldn't hurt us a bit. I've thought a lot of times, I just need to take my radio out of my car. Because all this is doing is messing with me. It's messing with me. It's messing with my emotions. It's getting me wrapped up in things that I really don't need to be paying my attention to anyway. They aren't affecting me one bit. They're not affecting my... Well, they are. But they're not helping me one bit. They're not getting me any closer to heaven. In fact, they're causing me problems. Causing me emotional disturbance. I'm getting wrapped up in things. It wouldn't hurt me a bit to just take this out of my car. It wouldn't hurt me a bit just to lay this paper down. It wouldn't hurt me a bit to just get rid of this source of my life. It wouldn't. In fact, it would probably help me quite a bit if I would just do that. It would help that unity. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, we've got to do this morality-wise, but you know, unity-wise. We're going to have a lot of problems if our focus isn't devoted to this thing. If that's not my mission in life, what do we live this life 75% of our passion given to God and 25% given to any of the news cycles? Do we live it with 80% given to God? And I want to remind you of something. You remember where Joshua was fixing to go into Jericho and he was out on the plain? And the angel of the Lord came down. He didn't know who it was at first. He said, "Tell me, are you for them or for us?" That's what we're talking about this morning. That's what we're talking about. Are you for them or are you for us? There's only two sides here. And the angel said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, of the army of the Lord, I come." Wait a minute. I thought our lines. You know, this was my line and this was the Lord's line right here. We were right. I thought, my cause. You were all about me. All about what I thought was right in life. It was all about me. I wish I could bring it out even better. My history, my thoughts, my things that I hold to, my political persuasions, my news source that I follow. Lord, are you for them? Are you for them or us? That's the question. That's raging out there. That's what's raging. It's not to be raging in here. It should not be in here. We shouldn't be sitting here going, "Lord, are you for them or us?" No, I'm not for either one of you. That's what the angel is. Wait a minute. I'm not for either one of you. I'm coming as the captain of the host of the Lord. Are you going to get on board? Are you going to get them? What are you going to do? Who are you for? Are you for me? Are you for them? You know, that's the question. The Lord's saying, get on board. I'm not on either one of those sides. I've got my own mission in life. Are you going to get on board and come with me? Are you going to be out here on one of these two sides? Because in the end, they're both the same. Following those things leads to the same place. Follow me. Follow me. You know, Moses and Elijah, God didn't even let them stand there. When Peter started thinking, well, we can build a tabernacle of them too. They all disappeared. He said, "This is my son. Hear ye him." We need some single focus glasses this morning. We need some, and we need to lay down anything else that disturbs that this morning. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. For you are dead." Remember? Wasn't that how you got saved? You came down that. Wasn't that how you got sanctified? Did you come down and say, "Well, Lord, come on, come with me"? Is that what you did? Sorry, you didn't get it. If that's what you did, you haven't got it yet. You need to come back down. No. You are dead. That's how we didn't have anything without it. Without us dying. And you know what? Without us, what does it say? Take up your cross daily. Paul said, I die daily. We're offering our bodies a living sacrifice. It's not our thing. It's the Lord's that we want in our life. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I want to read the scriptures once again that Brother Danny read. The Lord put them on my heart and he read them, but we're going to read them again in closing here. And I pray, maybe before we do this, I'm just going to bow my head for just a moment here, okay? Lord, you know how pitiful our efforts are. Lord, I pray that somehow this morning, that Lord, you would truly speak to us, Lord. Help us, Lord, anything, dear God, that is not of you. Anything that's disturbing the unity, the preciousness you want to give us, dear God. Help us this morning to be able to willing to lay it down. Lord, the altars are open, Lord, not just for lost souls. Lord, they're open for all of us, Lord, to come down and lay down our burdens. Lay down the things that have been wrapping us up, tangling us up. You talked to us about the thorns, Lord, and how they would choke us out, Lord. The cares of this life. Lord, help us this morning. If in any way there's anything in our life that's disturbing that precious unity, I pray you help us to know this morning and see and get the help we need, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. It says in this verse, it says, behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As dew on Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. May God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you.